Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Basketball Podcast. The season is over, gentlemen.
It is.
Still over. It was over last time we recorded a podcast.
Should do that every week.
The season is over.
In June.
My name is Adam Flango. I'm joined by Chris Towers.
All right. Chris Paul Towers.
Oh, man.
Chris so we made even the I discovery just... today. Chris didn't even know.
CPT.
That his middle name is Paul, and that means he's Chris Paul, and he just realized this.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Like, his entire life, he's been Chris Paul, and only it takes Joe to point it out that he is, in fact, the same namesake.
You're welcome. Now you got some...
You should probably contact State Farm.
Yeah,
I should.
And see about...
Three of us!
What do you know? So we're going to talk today about some fantasy-relevant observations from the playoffs. We're going to answer some of your emails, and if you'd like to send us emails, please do so. We're going to get through... we're going to rely on you guys for a bunch of emails throughout the dry spell of fantasy basketball. Send them to fantasyhoops@cbsi.com. Include fantasy basketball in the subject line, and we will be getting to them as we go through the season here. But we're going to talk about, like I said, some of the playoffs a little bit, and then we're going to try our way of attacking some of the prospects, and we're going to look at...
I'm not going to attack anybody.
Okay, we're going to analyze. Positive. We're going to... poke at the some of the prospects. And today's going to be Julius Randle. We're going to get to him in a little bit. And then, like I said, the emails at the end. So let's talk about the playoffs, gentlemen.
Yeah.
It's a good playoffs so far.
It is.
So
Yeah, we haven't had any... only a couple blowouts.
Yeah. That Clippers one, whoa. I mean, 138 points or whatever.
That was ugly.
One and the weird Pacers-Hawks game from last night kind of got out of hand.
Did not start out as a blowout, but boy, did it end like one.
Right.
But I was really grateful that the Clippers-Warriors game was a blowout because I was just really tired at that point.
Sleep,
I'm like, come on.
Second quarter comes, you're like, all right, safe.
I was like, all right, I'm good to go. See you guys. But let's start, we'll go series by series here. One interesting thing that you noticed about from this series. So we'll start with Spurs and Mavs. What's one thing, anything at all, you guys have... It doesn't have to be.
I mean, just a guy in the series, Dirk. We talked about him on the award thing. But I did some research for this column that I wrote on the awards. And he's one of only 10 people who have scored more than 20 points per game in a season at 35 years or older. And he's with, like, Kareem, MJ, Karl Malone. So that's pretty awesome. I would suspect that he could do it again next year.
Yeah.
Because... he did it seemingly pretty easy because there wasn't a lot of onus on him to do all the dirty work, rebounding, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
one thing I noticed, I'm not sure how much Jose Calderon's going to play in this series, and that's a little concerning moving forward just because you can't really survive with him on defense.
No.
And that might be one of those things that starts to become a trend in the postseason and then could linger.
Yeah, so do you think maybe a lot of Devin Harris might inflate his
value? Yeah, and that also was, Devin Harris got hot in the first game, so it could just be that.
And what about Kawhi Leonard?
He's
You think he could finally break through next year?
No, I'm not. Well, I'm not banking on it until I know that those guys aren't playing for them
anymore.
That's
mostly it.
Well, what about Tim Duncan retires?
I don't know.
More excited about Kawhi Leonard?
Sure.
Yeah.
Greg Popovich retires.
No. excited.
I look at Kawhi, and he has made progress this season as an offensive player. He's developed into a little bit more of a playmaker, even though the numbers don't show it. I think he's developed a little more of an off-the-dribble game. But as long as he's on that team, they're not going to, he's not going to get 35-plus minutes. He's not going to get, a 25 usage rate. So it's his... impact's going to be somewhat limited.
And as good as he is on a basketball level, I think that's what makes him invaluable as a fantasy option because he's such a good teammate and he doesn't need his stats. He doesn't want to get his number. He has no problem whatsoever getting his numbers, which is why Popovich seems to like him so much, I think. So I think that's just what...
But they do talk about him as if he's the next star.
Right.
The next guy they're going to build around. And it's hard to see them planning to build around a guy who's just going to get 12 and 8. So, I think at some point he's going to see a bigger role. It's just, you know, with Parker and Ginobili and Duncan. And
yeah, I think that he needs one of them to depart before he can actually ascend. Let's move to the next series. The Thunder and Grizzlies.
Yeah. I like Marc Gasol.
Yeah. I do too.
He was right around 29-ish fantasy points per game. I think people might, so especially if the Grizzlies lose this first round, he'll have only played, you know, sparingly in the season, like 2/3 of it, and then get eliminated in the first round. I think he could go under the radar next year.
Is Zeebo a free agent, or does he have one season left after this?
I can check that for you.
Yeah, because that's going to be interesting, because that's been something that we've, you know, I don't know if we've talked about it much, but that's been a topic of conversation, is whether they're going to start to move on from him because they're pretty much capped out, and it looks like Marc Gasol and Mike Conley are the building blocks there.
Yeah. And you just, you know, Zeebo's great. Like, you got to respect what he does, but if you haven't been able to get it done, you know, it's only going to get worse from here on out. But Gasol, the assists are what I love about him. He was basically around the Andre Drummond level of fantasy points per game, and that was coming off a knee injury, so he wasn't even really – it didn't seem like he was going all out during the regular season. So hopefully when he's healthy next year, you can get a steal.
Also, stray observation, not a big deal, you know, kind of flying under – Kevin Durant's really good.
Yeah,
he's good.
I believe he scored the 18th most points in NBA history this season.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of points.
And the guys ahead of him are guys like Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. So he's pretty good.
Zeebo is going to be a free agent after next season.
Okay.
So one more year.
So he's like a trade candidate.
Could be a trade candidate if they lose in the first round.
But he does have a player option. For next year, so he could opt out. I don't know why.
But it's probably like 18, 19 million, something like that.
16.9 million.
So. Unless they make a move, though, it's hard to see them. Like, they're just going to be the same team every year where they're real tough.
But they were 41-13 with Gasol around, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So that might be a fringe contender.
Let's get to Clippers and Warriors. Pretty fun series.
Good to see J.J. Redick running around doing J.J. Redick things. Danny Granger even had some points in that big blowout.
He had two straight threes at one point.
Good God, the Clippers. Their first big man off the bench is Glenn Davis.
Yeah.
Not great.
That's not a good roster construction.
But you got to love that if you've got a keeper in Blake Griffin or DeAndre Jordan, because that means they're playing like the whole game.
Yeah, they're not going to see a reduction in role next year.
No,
Klay Thompson, he had this first game was better than the second game.
Both these teams, it's hard to see them changing much going into next season.
Draymond Green, who Chris has been touting for the last couple of weeks, is interesting. And you wonder, maybe the Warriors, like the Grizzlies, will start to go in a different direction, whereas they were really big up front this year with Bogut, but he just can't really seem – it's either Bogut or Lee, one of them is always hurt. So
if they decide
to go smaller, Green could have a – pretty prominent role.
It's much less likely that we'll see Bogut get traded, I think, because they just gave him the 3-year extension that kicks in this year.
Mm-hmm.
Lee, I think, is in the second to last year. He's entering the second to last year of his contract. And all the talk in the Bay Area is how they're better without Lee, or Lee needs a reduced role.
Yeah, it's very weird that how productive he is, there seems to be a lot of people trying to invent reasons to get him out of there.
Yeah.
I hadn't watched a ton of Blake Griffin, despite how long, just mainly because of the West Coast stuff. But I really enjoy watching him, and I really wonder where he's going to fall in next year's fantasy draft, because he could definitely make a case for top half of the first round.
He's the second pure power forward off the list.
Right, but he's still he's getting better. If he keeps his trajectory up, he's going to improve on this year's numbers, which is pretty astronomical as they are.
The weird thing is he's just kind of getting back to his rookie season now. After, you know, his numbers had kind of fallen off for a couple of years, mostly just because of a reduced role. And now he's back to playing 36, 37 minutes a game, and we haven't really seen him improve. Like, he's improved, obviously, as a player, but in terms of per-game production...
Yeah.
He's been largely the same. Although he was unbelievably consistent this season.
Right.
The thing with him is he's never – has he missed a regular season game yet since coming back from the first season.
He
might have missed a couple games this season.
He missed two games this season, two games last year.
So, yeah, he's incredibly durable, incredibly reliable. And that's – you look at the rest of the first round, there aren't a lot of guys that are as rock solid as him. You know, he's not as good as Kevin Love.
No.
But Kevin Love, this is the first time he hasn't missed more than 10 games since his rookie season.
And Love, you know, that's what you mean when you're trying to say – we haven't seen Blake get better because it's the component that you add to your game has to translate into stats. And Love added the three-pointer.
Yeah.
Clearly, he's, you know, firing away from deep.
Right.
So
I mean, do you think it's possible for Blake to add a little bit more? Because he's...
I think the future for him is with the ball in his hands. You started to see it when Paul was out. He was getting closer to 4 and 5 assists a game. But even just off the dribble, his face-up game, if he can get a big guy moving laterally off the dribble... he can score so – he gets so many layups doing that if he just gets some space. And then that team is built perfectly for sort of an isolation, drive and dish, three-pointers, that kind of stuff. So I think as long – the more chances he gets with the ball in his hands, I think the stats will come.
The fact that he's improved his free throw shooting to 71.5% makes me hopeful that he can improve other shooting.
It seems like he can learn.
I don't think the three-point ball's ever going
to
be there for
him. No, but I don't really want it to.
There were some stretches this year where Doc would actually draw up a corner three for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting little wrinkle. It didn't work out so well, but...
No, there was a... But you're right. In the middle of the season, when he was taking lots of 19-footers.
Was a stretch for like 3 or 4 weeks where they would end the third quarter with a lot of, you know, set plays with Blake shooting from three. Not, you know, not that often, but it was a wrinkle. And it's something that, you know, he's become... okay from 18 to 20 feet. So that's only another couple of feet. And that's where the NBA is going. Obviously, you look at, you know, the Hawks have 5 three-point shooters on the floor pretty much at all times now.
Yeah, I think I don't see it as unforeseen that he can maybe make, I don't know, what.
I think it's just, like, for him, it's incremental.
Like Thaddeus Young threes of this past
something
year.
Something like that.
Well, Thaddeus Young made 80 threes this year.
But do you think he can make 50 threes in the next few years?
That's probably too much. If he hits 30 next year, that would be huge. But I think that's asking too much even, I think.
The other thing is if the future for him is with the ball in his hands, is that going to affect Chris Paul's stock? Because Chris Paul, I think, is at this point in his career, is very inclined to let a younger up-and-coming player take more of the burden and Paul kind of chill out until the playoffs and try and make a run there. So do you guys think maybe Paul sees a dip in production next season because they give more of
I think that's a little more likely. I would say that's more likely than Blake Griffin hitting 33.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't think Doc Rivers is that kind
5 to 12 this year, man.
I don't think Doc Rivers is that kind of progressive coach where he's going to, you know, he's not Eric Spoelstra, he's not a Budenholzer, he's not, you know, the guy that's going to totally revamp the way he looks at a player.
I don't know. He drew up a over the shoulder Gatorade shot for him, which he is deadly accurate at, apparently. So,
well, I don't think next year, maybe, but maybe he's 25 right now. Maybe when he's like 28 or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe then.
Well, like Chris Bosh is one of the best shooters in the NBA since he entered, I think, and just now he's starting to get comfortable shooting a lot of threes.
Point is, I think I can envision a scenario when Blake Griffin can be.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's next season.
No, I agree. I don't think it is next season. I just think.
But this is something I was thinking about. Actually, on the way in, I was thinking about this. I want to see guys like Anthony Davis and Blake Griffin also counts here. Get one of those progressive coaches. One of those guys, like Doc Rivers, is obviously a great coach, mm-hmm. so they're not going to look for an upgrade there. But like New Orleans, I would love to see them. You know, Monty Williams is a pretty by-the-book guy. He's an old-school guy. I'd love to see them get somebody, you know, somebody out of the Spurs system.
Somebody in the world of, like, Brett Brown.
Yeah, Brett Brown or Budenholzer. That's...
Can you imagine if Brett Brown coached Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
He would put up 65 points a game.
Yeah, and that would be...
and the team would average 68 points a game.
I don't know if Monty Williams is a great coach. I don't have a strong opinion on him either way.
But I know what you mean. You like the coaches that will say to a guy, okay, if you feel like you can make this, shoot it.
And that will try to expand a player's game.
Right. And this is the time to do it when they're young and maybe when you don't care as much. Yeah. That's the problem is the Clippers are building towards
the
ultimate goal.
The Clippers have no reason to experiment.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. It's so valuable to have those coaches that see that little nugget of potential. And then it's like, okay, you work on that and you just like spend your summer.
Like look at what it did for Paul Millsap.
Right, exactly.
You know, going from, you know, a pretty standard post-up, you know, flex offense guy in Utah, all of a sudden he's playing in this fast-paced, spread-the-ball-around offense in Atlanta, and he's all of a sudden become a really dangerous perimeter option.
All right, let's look at the Rockets-Blazers series. LaMarcus Aldridge.
That was a heck of a game.
Holy smokes.
It, you know, wasn't. You know, he needed 33 shots, but he scored 45 points.
That's what he did the entire year. That's, he just took a zillion shots. And
that's the thing with LaMarcus
points.
Aldridge. He needs a lot of shots.
But that's
to
fine
score.
For fantasy.
But he gets a lot of. Yeah, he gets a lot
scoring.
Of shots.
Standard
that's
scoring. Aldridge is a great bet because he's. Center. I mean, can you put him at center?
Yeah. Yes,
there aren't a lot of players that take more shots than LaMarcus Aldridge.
No, and that's fine. If I'm going to play in fantasy, which we are often, that I want somebody that's going to take the most shots in the NBA.
And he's a guy that I'd love to see stretch it to the three-point
line.
Yeah, he's another guy that
his game is almost begging.
He needs to because he takes – the problem with him is he needs so many shots to score because he doesn't take efficient shots. He's a really dangerous mid-range player. He's a really dangerous post-up player. But generally speaking, those are the least efficient shots you can take.
Yeah, if you're taking a spot-up 17-footer in today's NBA, you're kind of doing your team a disservice.
Yeah,
you might as well just back it up a little bit.
Yeah, like I'd like to see them run more side pick-and-rolls with Damian Lillard and see him spot out like the Heat do, see him spot out to flare out to a corner.
Yep. It's coming.
But he made 2 3-pointers in the first playoff game after making, I believe, 3 in the regular season.
There you go. Especially if they got
Lopez
around.
That's
got to
make
around.
You feel good if you're a Rockets fan.
He was just waiting for it.
If they got Lopez down there, there's no need for him to.
Yeah, I think they're perfectly – he's massive. I mean, he's a center. He's the size of most centers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it would create such a matchup problem if they decided to play a true 4-out style.
All right, we'll just petition all the big men in the league to – shoot threes off.
That is how I feel. That is exact. There, I think.
Plus,
you
they
need
just look
have,
so funny shooting it because they don't
I just,
jump. You
I
do,
think
you just set shot 3-pointer.
I don't think you need a big man who can shoot, but it lowers your margin for error.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Timberwolves wouldn't be able to survive with Ricky Rubio as their point guard if not for Kevin Love being an elite 3-point
shooter.
Sure,
it cancels it out.
And that's I think you can survive with the Rajon Rondo as your point guard, but it's really hard to build a great offense around him with
you're not
Brandon Bass.
You're not making me excited for the Nerlens Noel and Michael Carter-Williams combination.
That's well, why they told Carter-Williams to shoot 203.
And that's the problem. And we're going to talk about this when we start talking about the draft. I think, you know, Jabari Parker would be a great fit for them if he plays the 4 as a small ball 4. Yeah, I think he could be a better version of what Thaddeus Young did for them last year.
Thaddeus Young's still going to be there.
Wait, are the Sixers in the playoffs?
I think so.
Oh, I didn't know.
All right, let's
Pacers Hawks. What a series!
Yeah, some
heating up.
And we got that. We got a Woj bomb last night.
Woj bomb.
I wouldn't have been home. I would have already been home if it wasn't for that Dodgers game going to extra innings. But then I, you know, just saw Lance Stevenson and Evan Turner got into a fight at like. You know, just popped up at 2:30 in the morning.
Headline, Lance Stevenson, as crazy as you thought he was.
Yeah. Well, the great part was the quote from Lance Stevenson on what they needed to do to win game 2 was to punch at them. I believe it was direct quote, punch at them.
Don't have to punch them, just punch at
so
them.
Lance
they run
Stevenson,
into the punch.
Lance Stevenson, way ahead of you, Lance Stevenson.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't. That just makes me so much more worried about him if he leaves.
Evan Turner's never really been a problem. Like off the court,
he's annoying.
On the court, he's
annoying.
Off the court, on the court, he's a problem. But I've never heard of people having a problem with him.
No,
really.
He's got a little bit of tude that people. I know going back to Ohio State that he's people occasionally like are miffed by him.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
But
don't,
not, I
don't
I think
do it to Lance.
It's not surprising that Lance Stevenson and Evan Turner are not going because they're both fighting for the same role. They're both fighting for minutes and playing time and shots. And they're both unrestricted or they're both free agents this season for the first time. So that was obviously going to create some friction.
I think I should clarify. I think Evan Turner is the kind of guy that most people are like, all right, like they're like no big deal, but. He's somebody that somebody like Lance Stevenson maybe not going to get along with exactly 100%. Well, yeah. I think, yeah.
The Pacers, man, that's an interesting situation because now.
It could go any way.
they could completely fall apart.
And
that report last night was saying that Frank Vogel's coaching for his job right now. And Roy Hibbert and George Hill could get moved if they lose. You know, they're talking about that kind of drastic changes.
That is a really...
And Larry Bird's not afraid to do that.
Right, but that's not what you want hanging over your young players' heads in their...
Oh, sure.
The first round of the playoffs.
But
no.
Especially when Kyle Korver is swatting your center left and right.
Well, Roy Hibbert, there's... It has to come out. Once they lose, you know, I think it's going to come out. There has to be some... Like, it's there's no way to make sense of this beyond there's something wrong with him. Like, there's...
Oh, like an off-the-court like
a,
issue? Is
no, I'm talking like a stress injury. Fracture, yeah. Like an undisclosed...
I don't know. He just looks like he's thinking about it way too much. Because
I know he had the... You know, early last season, his first half last season was terrible. He couldn't make a shot, and it was because he had wrist issues. And it's just... It's so hard to see a big man shoot 30% for a stretch of 15 games. And, you know... Maybe he just forgot how to play basketball. But the more likely scenario is there's something happened. It's hard to see him just having lost.
Why wouldn't they just address it then and sit him down? I mean, the other guys, because Scola, Mahimi, they'll fill in. You can get past the first round without
Hibbert. The reason is because Scola and Mahimi are the guys behind him.
Well, yeah, but it's at least adequate enough for you to say, our guy is hurt. He needs to take time off like every
but
other team
probably,
in the league.
But it's probably, you know. Probably that's the wrong word to choose, but maybe it's something that they said you can play through. It's a pain tolerance issue.
Gotcha. So it'll look like he's weak if he comes out yeah. and says, yeah.
And you know, obviously this is just something speculation. It makes so much more sense than just,
oh, he sucks now.
Roy Hibbert at the age of 27 can't play basketball anymore. Like he literally can't be on the floor. Right
Would you guys, are you guys drafting him at all?
No.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, is there,
Roto Next. League, last round?
Nah.
Sure, as my number three center.
I will not.
You'd rather take an upside play. I mean, I'm kind of there with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if the Pacers lose in the first round, I could see this team looking a lot different next year.
There's going to be stories and
Lance,
things written in movies.
Well, there's lots of talk about, you know, Lance being very abrasive and people kind of not loving him in the locker room. But that team does like each other. They always have, and
That's been Lance Stevenson since he played at Lincoln High School.
I mean, that's being charitable, just saying that people don't like him.
But at the same time, that's the reason he's good, is because he's overconfident, you know, menace on the court. Like, if you wanted him to not do that, the Pacers would not be where they are.
But
quite frankly,
and the weird thing is with the Pacers, they don't have the luxury of sitting him.
Right.
They
Evan Turner's
to,
not going to step up and do it.
Well, and just they have to appease him because he's an unrestricted free agent. He has to want to re-sign there. If he wants to walk, they have no recourse. I think they have to. I don't think they don't have any other way to get better.
Mm-hmm. But
this team's, you know, close to capped out.
I mean, they're
paying Roy Hibbert $15 million a year. It's just if
he's going to be this disruptive, though, you know, like maybe – like they corralled him and they kept him in check for the majority of the season, but
maybe a contract can settle him down.
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it didn't seem to be an issue until Evan Turner got there, and that's, you know, they brought in a guy who's a little bit redundant.
Yeah, but
plays the same role, who's looking for his numbers. It's not crazy.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'll be very, very interesting.
This is an unbelievably interesting team right now.
Yeah.
More on this in podcasts to come.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we'll have a Pacers update on the reg.
Let's move on to the Heat versus the McBobs.
Yeah.
The McBobcats.
Not really.
The McRoberts.
There's not really any. Dwayne Wade looked good.
Yeah. He looks healthier than ever. Oh, he's playing possum again. Look at that.
Yep.
Never would have guessed.
Who would have thought that would happen?
He, you know.
Where are you going to draft Dwayne Wade next year? We talked about this, I think, a little while ago.
I think I said fifth round.
Yeah, something like that.
Fourth round.
If you're playing a league where you have to have a shooting guard specifically,
yeah,
there's definite value in getting him because shooting guard is not a strong position as far as guys who can do more than one thing.
Right.
Most shooting guards are just scoring right now, and that's it.
Yeah,
Yeah, but this is not a particularly interesting series otherwise.
No, it's not. Let's move on. Raptors, Nets. Jonas.
Jonas.
His name is Jonas.
This is like the level of production in two games that we wanted from him all season long that we didn't quite get. We got we got like 75% of this.
Yeah, and playing time was inconsistent. And this is a really good matchup for a big physical.
Yeah. When you look at when
athletic.
Paul Pierce is playing power forward, your center's probably got a good chance of dominating.
it'll be interesting to see if the Raptors can move on from this series, and if they can, and what Jonas Valanciunas can do, and whether or not he's going to suck me into overdrafting him next year.
Really happy to see DeMar DeRozan bounce back from that ugly first game. This is a tough matchup for him. The Nets are weird because we were talking about this before the show. They're big and little at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, they're big in the little positions and little at the big positions.
I feel like it's not really something, unless, like, it's an extreme advantage. Like, to one end, that it's not something you would really necessarily want.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, they've made it work. They're sticking with it because Lopez went down, they started trying this. And they basically just exploit the mismatch on the court. They'll post Sean Livingston on a midget point guard, or they'll have Paul Pierce do his crazy Paul Pierce moves on a power forward.
All right, so you guys said you won't draft Roy Hibbert. Would you rather have Mason Plumlee?
It depends on Lopez.
I'm not drafting anybody next year.
No, just avoid it. Kevin Durant, just leave the rest of your spots open.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Sounds good. It's an average league.
I'll draft Wiggins next year, too. Yeah, I can see that. If Kevin Garnett retires after this year,
you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, it might be a handcuff situation where you draft Brook Lopez in the fifth round and then...
But Plumlee could play power forward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you could put Brook Lopez and Mason Plumlee on the floor together.
Yeah.
They just didn't get the chance to do that at all, so we have no idea if it can...
And that might actually complement him because Lopez likes to sort of spread it out.
I think it would... It would essentially be kind of flip flop, like
it would be a little bit like the Heat. Lopez would play power forward on offense and center on defense.
Exactly, exactly. That's what I think. I think it could work.
Brook Lopez, another guy I would like to see shoot threes.
Sure,
it would maybe less.
One guy I'd love to see just shoot basketballs.
Less ankle.
I would just like to watch him play basketball without getting hurt.
But Plumlee reminds me of Birdman because he's just springy. He's kind of scrawny, but he can pretty much dunk from like anywhere.
He
jumps and he's dunking.
Mason Plumlee is what your like doofus friend from college who doesn't really watch the NBA. That's what he thinks Blake Griffin is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good call. Okay, Bulls Wizards. Brad Beal's putting up some numbers.
Yeah.
Other than just points,
who's going to be the Tom Thibodeau point guard reclamation project next year?
Ooh,
Derrick Rose.
Good question.
Oh, well, yeah. Besides Derrick Rose.
By default, I suppose.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens if Derrick Rose is healthy because, you know, what Thibodeau's done has been remarkable with DJ Augustine and Nate Robinson and even, you know, CJ Watson the year before. Can he, you know, does that work for Derrick Rose also?
Yeah, I would love to see, like I've been saying all year, Noah just have more of a... He's so important to them.
See,
on
I think
right
we
now.
Saw that last year, last night, a really good example of why that's not really feasible.
Yeah.
Their offense died. Like, DJ Augustin was their offense for a large portion of last night. And they went something like 7.5 minutes without scoring. And this was all running the offense through Joakim Noah.
Yeah, but it's a flawed offense to begin with. Like,
yeah, and that's why I think Joakim Noah's not, like, when they have better options, they're not going to just, like, Joakim Noah was really good. They were also like 28th in offensive rating this season.
Yeah.
So as good as Joakim Noah was, it didn't really help that much.
Right, yeah, we're saying if he's passing to better wing players than Dunleavy and Augustin.
But they're not going to upgrade. They don't have money to upgrade. Jimmy Butler can't hit a shot. We have 2 of 3 seasons where Jimmy Butler can't shoot. Derrick Rose isn't a good spot-up shooter.
Well, maybe it's wishful thinking, but it is –
I think next season Joakim Noah could be a disappointment.
I was going to say he's probably going to get overdrafted based on what he did in the second half of the year.
I think if you're drafting Joakim Noah expecting, you know, 12-12-6, that's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm. The 6 is going to be the problem, you think?
Yeah, I think it's more realistic to expect what he did the season before, where it was, you know, 3.5 assists.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for John Wall, though, that he's... Doing well in the playoffs here.
I can't wait to draft John Wall next year. We're going to draft him way too high. It's going to be awesome. The same with Bradley Beal, though. I very much
We get sucked into drafting players that are fun to
Bradley
root for.
Bradley Beal or Clay Thompson?
Bradley Beal.
more upside.
Definitely Bradley Beal. I'm the most down on Clay Thompson.
All right. I like.
What about you? You think you're gonna? You sound like
I don't have a strong opinion about it. I think they're very similar players. I think Bradley Beal, his upside comes in that he's a better playmaker.
He's like 2 or 3 years younger than Clay Thompson.
I think he's 4 full years younger.
Yeah.
And I think the Golden State Warriors offense is a better fit. Like, I would, if Bradley Beal was in the Golden State Warriors offense, I would like him more than Clay Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson is huge.
Randy Whitman keeps drawing up these mid-range jumpers for Bradley Beal, where he, like, they draw up these set plays. They work so hard. There's misdirection and pin down screens, and then he flares out, and then he shoots a 20-footer. And it's like, this is what you're, like, you're drawing up plays that aren't good shots.
Chris hates two-pointers.
I do. No, it's, the Rio Grande Valley River Vipers are my perfect team. They do nothing but take layups and 3 points.
At the end of the game, at the end of regulation last night, they did draw some sort of shot for Bradley Beal that ended up hitting him falling away in the corner.
Yeah.
Wasn't exactly the most effective play in the world.
Yeah, it's just they work so hard for bad shots, and my fear is that Randy Whitman, they're gonna win this series because the Bulls can't score at all, and it's gonna lock up Randy Whitman for 3 more years.
And then they're not gonna develop.
And it's gonna consign Bradley Beal to mid range hell for the next 3 years. I think he needs you know, they're such a talented team. He's got such a great point guard with him that can complement him so well. And he just takes so many 20-foot jumpers.
It seems like they're trying to turn him into the, like, Rip Hamilton run-around screens.
And that's fine if they're doing it to draw up three-pointers.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a guy that, you know, they're comparing – the comparison since high school has been Ray Allen.
Yep.
So let him shoot threes.
All right, let's move on to our prospect talk here.
Yeah.
It's time to get to know a prospect, guys.
Yes, it is.
Who are we meeting today?
Today we're meeting Julius Randle.
Oh, Mr. Randle.
Yes. Welcome, Mr. Randle. He is a 6'9", 250-pound power forward, 6'11" wingspan.
Mm-hmm. It's a little T-Rex army.
Yeah, I added the wingspan because that's the biggest worry about him. Everybody's obsessed with the Giannis wingspan, all the guys who can touch both rims standing at half court. He's not one of them.
Can I get to the rest of my points here?
Okay, run down the profile. Fine. Profile Randle.
The
go.
Profile of Randle. Then you guys can go crazy.
We stopped you at power forward.
Yes. He averaged 15 points a game, 10 rebounds per game, a little over an assist, a little less than a block, shot 50%, and 70% from the line. He turned the ball over a lot, though. That's one of his little bugaboos. 2.5 turnovers a game. It took a few three-pointers, not really, but it could add that to his game. His fun fact from his Instagram account, because athletes love Instagram.
They do.
And I really don't like it. I just find it amusing to follow.
I like it to see athletes.
I use it to post pictures of my pets.
Oh, there you go.
That's why we don't like it.
Julius Randle, he hung out with Johnny Manziel at a Wale concert.
Yes.
Ah.
There you go.
So that's what I got, gentlemen.
Okay.
All right, here's my suggestion for – guess what my suggestion for Julius Randle, what he needs to do.
Grow longer arms.
Does it have to do with shooting behind the three-point line?
Yeah, there you go, Joe. That's wow. You got it.
He should just do half-court shots.
See, here's the thing. Most comparable to Zach Randolph is what you say there on the
I think he's
– Here's the issue.
He's a little bit of David Lee, a little bit of Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph has 7'4" wingspan.
Yeah, he does.
That's a big difference.
And David Lee is like 6'10", 6'11", almost. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's Julius Randle, it's going to be a problem. He's, you know, the guys that have small wingspans in the at the power forward position now are Thaddeus Young, SB Nation did a right through on this.
Yeah, like Brandon Bass.
Brandon Bass is 7'1" wingspan. So you're looking at the guys that are under 7 feet that play power forward are Thaddeus Young, Blake Griffin, and Kevin Love. Julius Randle is
Young's
not
just like short though.
Yeah, he's like Thaddeus Young's like 6'7". But the thing with Thaddeus Young is he's a pretty good 3-point shooter. He's got a very good perimeter game.
He's way leaner. He can run.
Yeah, Kevin. He's a small forward.
He's a tweener that found his way.
Yeah, Kevin Love is an elite 3-point shooter.
Children's book.
He's an elite 3-point shooter and an elite rebounder. Blake Griffin is a freak athlete. Julius Randle doesn't really have that thing that can set him apart.
In between all of those things.
And that's the problem with him is that And I think it's going to be more of an issue on off on defense. It's going to be weird to see whether that keeps him off the floor.
He's super duper strong, though. I mean, the guy just imposes his will. I mean, you were watching him against college kids, but even still, you could look at him doing that to NBA power forward. Paul Pierce plays power forward, so like, just put it that way in terms of the NBA that he's about to enter.
I think he has like probably the second best, most ready NBA like physique of. Yeah.
Physique, and he's got moves. He's got nice
face
up. The big knock on Blake Griffin coming out was he didn't really have moves. He's developed them, but Randall's already got them, it seems.
I find it very difficult to evaluate Kentucky players because of their system is so geared towards
everybody's strengths.
Yeah, just like trying to, you know, like Calipari will take one game to try to get like Andrew Harrison involved, and he'll focus on that, and the guys will buy into that too. I find it difficult, but for the most part, they've been quite successful.
Yeah. What I like most about him, he's like tenacious. I can see him being a monster on the offensive boards, doing stuff like on the baseline, just kind of being like sneaky a little bit.
And he's polar opposite, and for whatever, this isn't really matter for, but he's polar opposite of Lance Stephenson as far as character goes. He is beloved by everybody that's ever come across him.
The David Lee comparison that you bring up, I think, is a little interesting. Except David Lee was a freak athlete.
Yeah,
he won the high school All-American dunk contest the year he came out. But Julius Randle's a good athlete.
But as a senior, David Lee put up worse numbers than Julius Randle did as a freshman.
Yeah,
which is at least something.
Yeah, although, you know, Florida's never been a place where people put up huge numbers either.
Right, yeah, but it's still is a little telling.
But when I say David Lee and Zach Randolph, I'm talking about their body control. Both of those guys use their back and their shoulders to, like, shield. Mm-hmm. Like, Randall's really good at that. Like, I don't see him getting – even with the short wingspan, that's how he's able to get away with it. He shields. He jumps off 2 feet and does kind of weird stuff with his body that I really only see these two guys doing. Like, how is David Lee so good? He's, like, unblockable. He scores on no matter who's guarding him.
Yeah, great.
But it doesn't look like anything special.
Great body control.
Yeah. So I think Randall's got that potential.
I would be thrilled if he turned into a David Lee-esque player, even if he was, like, maybe he's like 90% of David Lee or something like that.
You have to respect him like an elite talent to be able to stop him. That's how I feel about David Lee. He's not an elite talent, but unless you treat like the Heat totally just disregarded David Lee and he destroyed them this year.
He's not right now. Obviously, it's weird because you're comparing a David Lee, you know, 8 years into his career.
And the same
David
with
Lee's
Randall.
A better passer than Julius Randle, I think. And that's one key difference. That's something that's really helped David Lee. You know, he's got defensive issues. He's not a great mid-range jump shooter.
Sure.
But he's able to – you can't ignore him. And that's – I don't know if Julius Randle is going to be able to just bully people and score.
No, I saw a lot of games he would get tunnel vision down there, and he'd be so focused on the rim, guys would be wide open, but he didn't care.
You know, if he's being defended by Anthony Davis, he's going to push Anthony Davis around, but at the end of the day, Anthony Davis is going to be able to make up that ground.
No, they're Kentucky bros. They're not going to hurt on each other.
they'll just never play.
I'm going to guard someone else.
No, exactly. Like, no, I refuse. But the
they'll take on Jeff Withey.
Well, I see, like, yeah, I know he got tunnel vision, but was he going to kick it out to one of his 20% free throw 3-point shooters?
Well, he's going to one of the, you know, he's going to the Bucks or the Sixers, so it's not like there's a ton of great teammates there either.
Well, I know, but
and that's not a great habit.
Tony Roten would have.
I'm not saying it's just going to kill him, but it's a knock on him. He's not as natural of a passer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't – I'm not so worried about those tunnel vision things because I just think – part of his directive from Calipari would be like, okay, you get the ball in the post, you take it to the rim and score.
Yeah, Calipari referred to him as Shaq a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're talking about the most – I think the most dominant presence in basketball history, that your job is to have tunnel vision.
Right. So I think that was kind of sort of his job description. That's why I'm not particularly worried about him. I saw Amin Elassan. They do great stuff in these 360 draft profiles of guys, ESPN. So props to those guys. And he made the comparison to Corliss Williamson, which I only remember the tail end of Corliss Williamson's career. One of the ugliest guys in NBA history, by the way. I'm sorry, Corliss, if you're listening, my friend. But, but I don't know. I can see him as somebody that ends up averaging 16-9.
And yeah. the one good thing about him, we're talking about, you know, as a rookie, I think he can be very productive.
Yeah, he's still like a teenager. So
the only thing is, statistically, he's very comparable to Cody Zeller, but their games are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's interesting because
NBA compare. I find it so difficult.
I'm talking about Cody Zeller coming because Zeller's another guy. You know, about 6'10". Cody Zeller's a little taller than Julius Randle, but similar short wingspan. Cody Zeller was 6'11". Yeah. But again, Cody Zeller, probably I don't know if he's a better athlete, but he's faster.
Oh no, he's a better athlete. He's a really good jumper and everything.
And that's you know, you're talking about Cody Zeller was 20 pounds lighter, so not nearly as strong, but. It's interesting that their production was pretty similar. Cody Zeller was actually a more efficient player, and he struggled a lot. He struggled a lot with NBA size.
Yep. So if Terrence Jones can kind of be successful in the NBA, do you think
different games, I think.
But I just mean
Terrence Jones was much more of a, you know, a dunker and a slasher.
Yeah. I just mean just finding a spot on a team, being a not tall but not small power forward, you know, and not – athletic but a not slow, like he is very odd. He's very peculiar in terms of what the NBA is built like
it
today.
Could be a Jared Sullinger-esque transition to the league also,
but I agree with Flango. Yeah. He does a lot more physical like jumping and stuff than
but he's really athletic.
Yeah, he's very athletic. He's much more athletic than Jared Sullinger.
You know what he reminds me of a little bit, and this is going to sound bad, but if Derek Williams was actually taller and could play power forward in the NBA, like people kind of thought he maybe sort of could have developed into, that's what he reminds me of, because he is that kind of, like Derek Williams is crazy athletic and he has like a big body going, but he was just too small. He was like two or three inches shorter than Julius Randle and just couldn't cut it like that. But Julius Randle is taller than that.
And he plays big.
Yeah, and he plays, exactly. And I think that he...
I just worry that there might be that adjustment period.
All right, so is there anybody, any team that you think that Julius Randle would be a good fit on? I'll go first while you guys... I think he could, if he starts, he falls a little bit in the draft, like some people are sort of predicting he's going to go like maybe in the 5 and 8 range, maybe 4 and 8 around there. If he ends up on the Kings without post Rudy Gay, because it's going to be crazy the usage. Like, he's not going to get any shots his rookie year, but the Kings will only have Rudy Gay for one more year if he isn't traded next year or something. But I think that you could put him next to DeMarcus Cousins, and that sort of could alleviate some of the, because like some matchup problems, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it could be
because DeMarcus could work in the high post and Julius could work in the low post. I think that could work.
Yeah, could DeMarcus would they're playing at a team like that has a traditional big man and maybe another smaller ish power forward, like the Clippers or something like that. Like that, he could find his way, and like the big guy would have to go and guard DeMarcus Cousins. And I think the Kings would be an interesting fit for Julius Randle. I don't know if he would. Yeah, down the road, maybe like 2 years from now, two or three years from now, he could definitely be put.
Yeah, maybe not the biggest impact as a rookie.
Right.
As a rookie, I think it'd be interesting if he went to the Bucks, because, like I said before, they're like the all wingspan team. So maybe they would want somebody who
they
has
could
a
use a bruiser.
More, exactly. So he would have a defined. That's what you worry about most in fantasy for rookies. Is like, is this guy gonna have a spot on the team? Kelly Olynyk. Right. Super talented on offense, but could just not break into the lineup
until very late. Yeah.
Right. So if he can find his small role on, you know, a bad Bucks team, he'll get lots of opportunities on offense.
Yeah, I mean, they would probably center their offense around him.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz could be interesting. I know the Jazz have invested a lot in big men. They, you know, three first round picks in big men over the last 5 years.
That's interesting you say that.
But I just think he would work. It's similar to the Bucks. I think he, because I don't think he's going number one overall. I think he's going to fall a little bit. And I, you know, I just think he would work well with a Larry Sanders type in Derek Favors. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would necessarily work that well on offense. But Derek Favors would be able to cover up a lot for him on the defensive side of the ball. And the Jazz don't seem particularly sold on Enes Kanter.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
And that's, you know, the only problem is you kind of get a mid-2000s Detroit Lions situation going on where they just keep throwing high draft picks at the same position. Because they did take, you know, it's Derek Favors. They traded Darren Williams for Derek Favors. So that's a huge investment. Then Enes Kanter was the third or fourth overall pick. Then they took Rudy Gobert with the number 19 pick.
Gobert.
I don't think he's going to be very good, but it's still.
But he is 7'10".
He's crazy
but
tall.
But he is the longest spaghetti guy in NBA history.
So you're saying they're going to try and fuse Gobert and Randall together?
If they could take Gobert's arms and put them on Julius Randle.
That's a scary guy right
I
there.
I wanted to make some sort of joke about some French pasta dish, but I couldn't.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert's wingspan is about this isn't an exaggeration. It's nearly a foot longer than Julius Randle's.
Right.
It's also going to be funny if Julius Randle gets to the combine and, you know, measures with a 7-foot wingspan instead. And then
or he's, you know, kind of or he's 6'7", the Michael Beasley thing. Yeah. Like you never know with these guys. These college, what they put on the college website is not always correct.
Right.
Yeah, so I think the Jazz could be an interesting place. I think the Lakers could be an interesting place if, you know, all signs are pointing to Dante Exum at this point, but
who knows?
You never know. But, yeah, running a lot of pick and rolls in Mike D'Antoni's offense would be a lot of fun for him.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like Mike D'Antoni's going to still be there somehow.
All right, well. We'll get
nice to meet you, Julius Randle.
Yeah, it's very nice to meet you, Julius. I hope to we have to learn more about you as the draft process unfolds.
Yeah, we'll try to just do the one or two prospects at a time until we actually see how the lottery
post May 20th.
Once the lottery comes through, then we can start really getting into who fits on each specific team, better.
Right, and then we'll do a mock draft. We'll maybe make 6 picks a pod heading before the actual draft happens. Let's get into some emails here. All right, so I wanted to. This is from Adrian. This is really not even a question. This is just us being
just patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah, nice. So I wanted, but just to prove that maybe our fantasy advice works occasionally.
So at least in 4 out of 7 of Adrian's leagues.
So I wanted to send y'all a major thank you for all your assistance and insight during the season. The podcast and the articles are tremendous help, and I had my most successful season ever. He won 4 out of 7 leagues. He is so excited that we're going to continue doing the podcast. Yada, yada, yada. Sincerely, Adrian. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian.
He threw some questions out to us that we're going to be getting into as the off season rolls along here, because we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about coaches next week.
We'll come back to the Adrian well.
Exactly. So until next week, we will be getting into all sorts of different – we'll maybe get into some draft strategy stuff for next year, and we'll have another prospect focus. But we want you to know what prospect you want to get to know more.
Yeah, are you intrigued by? There's a lot of mysterious figures.
There's all sorts of good prospects out there. It's going to be a very exciting draft, but we want to know who you want to know about. So.
Or who do you guys think, you know, maybe we're way off base in our assessment
of
idiots? Julius Randle.
It's entirely possible.
Some Kentucky student, watched him closely every game, and we're way off base in a certain aspect.
Maybe.
Educate us.
Yeah, maybe he plays pickup ball in, at Kentucky and, had sick passes all the time. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe. But go ahead and send us an email, fantasyhoops@cbsi.com. Enjoy watching the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would say good luck in your fantasy leagues, but you're not probably playing in one.
Good luck gambling on the playoffs.
Yeah, there you go.
Good luck in your fantasy baseball leagues.
Fantasy baseball. Right. Sign up for that.
You can follow us at CP3.
At CP Towers.
CPT. CBS.
Joe Poe 89.
And Adam _Flango.